Does everybody have their roll and have the other little packet, two pages, one says a healthy Sunday school class? Everybody got that? If you ain't got it, will you tell me real quick? All right, good enough. Are we ready? All right, Mr.
Extra these.
Yes, there were some of those on the back. Thank you, Dale.
Did not get them.
Yeah, there were a few extras of the healthy Sunday school class standards, so if you need those, and if you didn't get that, wave it, Dale, and he'll bring it to you real quick. Other than that, I'm going to ask Mr. Roy if you will pray and kick us off, and then we'll get started. Is that okay?
Dear Lord, we come to you as humbly as we know how, Lord. Thank you for being so merciful and long-suffering toward us. Lord, we thank you for the services we've had today. Lord, I pray that we would be attentive to this meeting, Lord, that we might learn something and benefit by it, that we might be better Sunday school teachers, and Lord, that we might be better able to reach out and enlarge our class and grow our class spiritually and numerically. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. I hope you guys are as excited as I am. I know everybody's been looking forward to kicking off again on the 14th. I know there's trepidation. I know what you're thinking. It may not happen. We have entertained those thoughts in staff meeting as well. We think, okay, we're going to set this date. We're going to do everything we can to get ready for it. And with the understanding that something may crop up COVID-wise that prevents us from doing it. But right now, we're full bore on. So we are ready to go. I promise you, we're ready to go just as much as you are, and we're as excited about it as you are. A lot of times in staff meeting, particularly, I guess in the past, when we were going full bore, when we were on a regular schedule, when everything was clicking the way it was, we had sat around, particularly in planning, we would sit around occasionally, and this would come up. Boy, if we could just kind of put things on pause in each one of our ministries for just a short period of time, give us time to gather our thoughts. What would we like to be doing different? What would we like to do better? What would we like to add? What would we like to drop? And we knew that was not going to happen. Well, last March, that happened. It kicked off. And so we've had essentially almost an entire year to start thinking over some things. Brother Charlie has come on board, has given us some really good guidance. He is all about Sunday school. Very excited, very Sunday school driven, I think, wants all of our other ministries to come through Sunday school. So this has been a rare opportunity for us to not to sit back and do nothing, but to sit back and think, sit back and plan, to sit back and come up with some ideas that we hope will make Sunday school better, that will help us grow, certainly not just in quantity, but in quality and health as a Sunday school and as a church in general. So I think this has been a good time. It's been a good learning experience for us. And so I hope you guys will see that and hear that while we go through some things today. What we're going to talk about today, I know you guys have been running through Luke. And so I wanted to give you a chance just to think about some things that Jesus said in Luke. And we'll hit that. Then we'll go to Why Sunday School, and you'll notice that it says Why Sunday School in your own words. So that's a couple of minutes for you guys to chat. I just want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on Sunday School. Why a standard? If you've looked at that other sheet outside of your roll, the very first page says a healthy Sunday School standard. Why a standard? What's our standard? And then we'll talk about a few things on how to achieve that standard. And then just a play on words there. I put down a five-letter word or a 10-letter word if you prefer. And I'll reveal that to you in just a little bit. So briefly, if you've been following the readings in Luke, you know that there are a lot of opportunities throughout the Gospels. There are a lot of opportunities for Jesus to speak. There's a lot of opportunities for Jesus to bring attention to himself. But most of the time, I would say, when Jesus does miracles, when he's healing people, when he's ministering to people. Luke 9:43 is one of my favorites. He performs a miracle right there in those couple of verses before that. And Luke 9:43 is just a very short verse. And it says, "And all were astonished at the majesty of God." It didn't say all were astonished because Jesus performed a miracle. All were astonished because Jesus was dressed nice, or because he was a great orator, or because he attracted a lot of people. All were astonished because of the majesty of God. And that's what Jesus was about. He was constantly about. Read John. We'll get to that at some point, but read through John. Jesus is consistently, and John is consistently pointing from Jesus back to God the Father. Luke 17:18. This concerns the healing of the 10 lepers, and Jesus says, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" It was all about God's glory. It was all about Jesus pointing back to God the Father and bringing God praise and bringing and showing God's majesty through his miracles. Everything we do as staff, as Sunday school teachers, everything in life. When Kendall's coaching for the glory of God. Kendall doesn't coach for the glory of New Albany football. He does not coach for the glory of Kendall Murphy. He doesn't even coach for the glory of Ann Perry Murphy. He coaches for God's glory. He's put everything he has into it as a believer to bring God glory. And you guys do the same thing. Whether it's serving as county clerk, whether it's being retired, Dale Manning, being retired for God's glory, whatever it may be. So as teachers and as Sunday school classes, assistant teachers, everything that we do, we make the phone calls. We prepare the lesson. Everything that we do is ultimately not about just checking off or doing things that we know we're supposed to do. Ultimately, it's about bringing God glory. I remind myself of that as often as I can. There are hard days, there are good days, and regardless of what it looks like on a particular day, I try to start my day off with focusing the Word, and then keep in mind that everything that I'm doing is to serve the body of Christ and bring God glory. All right, the fun part. So tell me, I want you to talk to me about a healthy Sunday school class. And I really want feedback from all of you. Even if you just say, it's big, I don't care. Just give me something that you're thinking when we talk about a healthy Sunday school class. Give me something that you're thinking at that point that you would use to describe a healthy Sunday school class.
Engaged members.
Miss Mary Foley says engaged members. That means people sitting in the class, they're not just sitting there listening or never being involved or not thinking about the Word, but they're engaged.
Consistent attendance.
Mr. Roy says consistent attendance by the teacher and by the class. I'm going to make every one of you talk. I'm going to ask you by name, so you may as well just go ahead and jump in. Will Foley.
I was waiting on Clay over there.
Okay.
Now I think it's a class that is looking to multiply and is, you know, growing in and trying to grow out.
Yeah. Will says looking to multiply, and I'm repeating your answers, guys, for the benefit of the people that are going to listen to the recording later.
Being prepared by the way you interact in the class.
So, David, you would say you being prepared as a teacher, but then also the members being prepared by studying the same thing you're studying during the week, so that
they're having a clue of what you're talking about.
It's a good idea. So having a clue about what you're talking about, yeah. And I think that goes along with being engaged, doesn't it, Smith?
Having good fellowship and follow up, making sure everybody in the class is connected and knows what's going on.
Good deal. Becky says making sure everybody's connected and knows what's going on, communication within the class.
I think what's coming to mind as I hear all these things is having a plan for all those things, you know, for the fellowship, for greeting new people, having a plan and not just letting it happen haphazardly, having certain people in charge and kind of delegating the task among, you know, the 30 of us instead of the two of us.
Kendall basically just said having a strategy to make all these other things, all these other answers happen. Annette and Gloria, I know y'all don't like to talk, but you may as well answer.
They've already taken our answers.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Everybody took your answers. All the good answers are wrong, right?
We'll answer next.
Okay. All right, you two buzzers on the back there.
I think for me, maybe it's two words, sure, but welcome and personal. I mean, personal is such that you can talk about the kids and our family. And the obviously things you can't always do with 700-plus members, but when you get to a one-on-one class, you can talk about personal needs and be welcome.
Keith says being personal and being welcoming, but I think that's a good point, because it's impossible for everybody that sits over there on the right side of the church to really have a deep relationship with everybody that sits on the left-hand side of the church here in worship, unless they're related or unless there's some natural connection. And Sunday school becomes that natural connection, that place where they connect. You can't do that in 600 people in worship center, but you can do it in 25 people in Sunday school class.
Mine kind of piggybacks on that, is, you know, the sharing one another's burdens. We celebrate together and we share the burdens. You know, again, the group is hard to do that. Small group, couple group will do that. We encourage ours. It's hard for people because we're all private. I can't share your burden if I don't know about your burden.
Right, that's right.
So it's developing that relationship, closeness, bond, family, that we can share our burdens, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. Dale was just tagging on to Keith's answer, and Sunday school becomes a place that we can share burdens. And I think probably your point, just be a little bit more intimate with our discussions. Things that we're just not going to share out of a crowd of 700 people. All right, Dr. Anthony.
I would say everything that everyone has said is spot on. I would just, a word of warning not to waste time, because we've got only so a limited amount of time to cover material, to cover a lesson. You can talk about Super Bowls and politics on Facebook, but when you get into that group and it's 20-25 minutes in class time, you've not even opened the Bible yet or prayed, and that can be a dangerous thing. So just be mindful of time management. That's something that I've had to work on myself. Just be very directive and very intentional about what we're there for.
Clay has a good point about being intentional, not wasting time, just using your time wisely. And to accomplish everything that everybody's talking about, the intimate discussions, the being personal, the being engaged, I hope what we talk about today will bring all this together for you. I hope what we get to will show you that it can all be done. And Clay's right. We have a limited amount of time, so there's no way that you can possibly do everything. Even in a class of 15 or 20, there's no way that you can do all of that within that time frame and teach the word, which is the most important part as well. So hopefully what we discuss here in this little bit will give you an idea of how we're going to do that, okay? So what if there were no standards for doctors, for your favorite restaurant, for banks? I worked in restaurants a long, long time ago in another life, and when I first started, there were three, and then by the time McRae shut the restaurant business down, we were down to one. But even at that time, and when I first joined, we were blowing and going. It was very successful, and then things came along that, caused them to get out of the restaurant business. But our one of our standards, one of our desires was whether I was eating in Jackson or whether I was eating in Goshen, whether I was in Pensacola. At that particular restaurant, if I went in and ordered a particular item, it should taste as close as possible to the one that I ordered in Goshen, should taste as close as possible to the same one that somebody was ordering in Jackson or in Pensacola. We just had a standard. We had a way of making things. There was a way of putting our hamburgers together. There was a way of cooking the hamburgers. There was a way of grilling a steak or making a chicken salad that we followed so that everybody could expect the same thing. Brother Charlie and I were talking. He was talking about Philip Nanny and Medius opening up other clinics. And I know Bacon can relate to this. There are things that you want, particularly if you're going to have more than one doctor's office, there are things that you want that people can expect. You may have a different flair. If you're in Memphis, you may have pictures of the Mississippi River and bales of cotton to honor the cotton exchange or whatever. But at the foundational level, you want the service to be great, you want it to be the same, you want the care to be the same as you would be getting as if you were at the very original clinic here in town. There are standards that you're going to adhere to. Your bank has got not just standards, but they've got some laws that they have to follow, regardless of where you do your banking, what company it is, what banking organization it is, what town it's in. There are standards that the government has set forth that they have to follow. And there's a reason for those rules, right? If Bankport South down here at the end of Highway 15 got to do things any way they wanted to, and then Bankport South over in Tupelo did things completely differently, you would never know what to expect. You wouldn't know what you were getting into, right? Standards. Would you guys want to go to a place, a restaurant, and order something in one place that might be the same in another place? Maybe. Maybe not. I would hope not. I would hope you would enjoy standards. All right. Let's get to the meat of what we're doing. This is on your page. You can look at it. You can read it up here. A healthy Sunday school class at Hillcrest strives in all ways to do four things: reach, teach, serve, and develop. We want to reach out. This is part of the being engaged beyond our walls and multiplying, like Will was talking about earlier. We want to reach out to the community, and we want to reach in toward each other. The teaching, God's Word. You may use the Gospel Project. You may use Bible Studies for Life, but the core of what comes out of the class should be God's Word. I don't think that's a surprise for anybody. We're there to serve each other, and several of you hit on that. We're there to serve each other inward in our class as well as outward. And then we want to develop, and this is from teacher on down, we want to develop members into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. All of you, whether you know it or not, or whether you think it or not, I'm sure you have thought about it, each one of you, have your own congregation. You're a shepherd for this group of people that you have in front of you. And so you're helping to equip those saints that are in your class. So we want to see our classes develop into healthy Sunday school classes. This is a bunch of words to say. We want each member of your class to be spiritually healthy. How are we going to do this? You can't do it all as a teacher. Most of you have full-time jobs, part-time jobs. You've got your fingers into something, regardless of whether you're getting paid for it or not. You're busy during the week. We cannot expect you to prepare a lesson. We don't expect you to prepare a lesson. Reach out to all your class. Remember everybody's prayer needs. All of these things that we've talked about, from Clay over to Will and everything in between, you can't do on your own as a teacher, and we recognize that. And I think part of the reason that we've not had the kind of help that we want in our Sunday school classes is because we've not offered a framework for you guys to be able to accomplish the things that it takes to make a healthy Sunday school class. So here, I've got six things. We've got three more slides. I want to go over these. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to meet with these people again. We'll get to some other details at the end. But first, a healthy Sunday school class needs a lead teacher. And that teacher needs to shepherd the group. That teacher needs to be faithful to teach, again, from God's Word. And we want that teacher, like Will was saying earlier, we want that teacher to be thinking, okay, how am I going to multiply my class? If the more classes, the more Sunday school, and we're not having classes, building classes, just for multiplying classes' sake. That's not the reason we're doing it. But for every class that we start, I think it attracts 10 new church members. An additional 10 church members from every new Sunday school class that we start. And there's this miracle of Sunday school that nobody has a grip on, but every time you send people out to multiply a class, you tend to fill those people back in your own class. So if you send five people out to start another class, you're not down five people. You're going to get five, you're going to attract five new people that were probably not coming before. So that's kind of some of the logic. And again, it doesn't follow I can't give you a science behind it, but Lifeway's got some answers and it's got some stats, and most people that I read talk about the same thing. There's about 10 new church members come in for every Sunday school class that we start, and you never just lose members out of your class when you multiply. It always fills back in. So that's part of being a teacher. You want, and we're going to call them apprentice teachers, and there's a reason instead of it just being an assistant teacher, we want this person to be an apprentice teacher because we want this person to eventually lead out in this multiplication. So part of you multiplying your class is developing this teacher, them sitting in, learning under you, and yes, some of them could become, maybe, what you would think of as a better teacher than you. That's fine. What we want is you to be walking alongside of another teacher so that teacher can then go out and lead that next class, and then you develop a new apprentice teacher, that apprentice teacher teaches, and they develop a new apprentice teacher. You need somebody to, and not all of you like administration. Not all of you care anything about checking rolls and doing the administrative duties of the class. There's somebody in each one of your classes that has that gift. There's somebody in each one of your classes that's already doing that for a profession that enjoys that. You may, but pass this skill off, this task, this duty, this privilege, this service off to somebody else that can be your class admin. And we want them to keep records. We want them to communicate absences. There's going to be things that they will know. Not that they're hoarding knowledge, but things that they know that nobody else will probably know because they're thinking strictly about who was there, who was absent, just some things that are administratively geared. As I think everybody that comes in a class, everybody that serves in a class, and really everybody in the class needs to be serving in some capacity. But I can tell you from experience, I think Brother Charlie would agree, there's this task, and people always say, well, Tracy, I can't go, but the least I can do is pray, or I can't go to a certain place because I'm just, you know, I can't fly for that length of time, those kind of things. But they always think that somehow, and I've heard this 100 times, for some reason people always think, well, I can't go, but I can stay back and pray, and treat that like a lesser thing. I think you can ask any teacher, any class, any missionary that's on the field right now, and they will tell you that they would rather have 100 people in New Albany praying for that one specific work that they're doing than they would have 5 people come, because they are sold out on the fact that God does the work. They're sold out on the fact that the Holy Spirit has to go in front of them for anything to take place. And so you praying for missionaries and for the work that God is doing, you praying, having your class praying for you, for me, is far more important than somebody being able to teach, maybe, or than somebody being able to be an apprentice teacher. You need this. This is the prayer. This is the real work of the Sunday school ministry. To start with is prayer. You've got to undergird it with the foundation of prayer. So we want a prayer leader that's just going to keep a list. Keith, you were talking about this, these personal requests, these intimate things. We want a teacher that's going to disperse that information, and a prayer leader that's going to send it out in a way that's discreet, in a way that's not sharing details that not everybody needs to know, but they're going to share requests that people have so that you can pray. And as a teacher, we're wanting you to lead a class, and we want to help the class to stay inward focused as well as outward focused. This is part of what helps, is your prayer leader. Care leader. You're going to see some overlap here, but the care leader is somebody who's going to be diligent to communicate the needs, to communicate fellowship opportunities. I won't call this person your certainly not your party organizer, but your care group leader. Your care leader within the class is going to be the person that gets out these fellowship opportunities and some of these in-reach opportunities and some. For instance, if Will and Megan have another kid, somebody is going to need to coordinate a shower or coordinate the opportunity to take them food. Those kind of things. That's where your care group is, your care leader is headed. And then last, and we've had discussions about this at the Missions Council, so some of you will have heard this before, but we really do, we have a desire to drive everything, and when I say we, I'm including your Missions Council, I'm including your staff. A healthy Sunday school class should be able to have everything that the church does, ministry-wise, our arms that extend outside these walls, driven through a Sunday school class. And so, in order for that to be able to happen, a healthy class is going to have an outreach leader, somebody that's in tune with what Kendall's going to talk about it from a Missions Council standpoint. Somebody that's in tune with perhaps India or Ecuador or the Dominican Republic. Somebody that's going to be thinking about the clothes closet, the food pantry. Somebody that's going to be thinking about these food boxes that we have the opportunity to distribute. That's a perfect role for a Sunday school class to take on, is distributing these food boxes. So that outreach leader is going to be somebody that's constantly focused on opportunities, whether it's visitors, whether it's prospects, or whether it's needs in the class, needs outside the class. And this is local and global. This is not somebody that just thinks necessarily just about the class, but is also thinking about outside the four walls and outside the boundaries of Union County, Mississippi, and North America. Those six positions, now I could list another five or six in a class, another five or six positions in a class that would help. And as we grow and as some of your classes grow bigger, we may plug a couple more positions into that class. But for now, Brother Charlie and I have sat down and knocked heads several times. I would say this whether he was in here or not. He's been a great encouragement for Sunday school. He's given me some push that I've needed, some cattle prodding, for lack of a better word, occasionally. Just things that I need to help get this together. Because we both are, and I think I've always been excited about Sunday school, but sometimes I've had a difficult time knowing exactly where to go, what to do, what was the next step. And so Brother Charlie has been invaluable in helping me gather some things, gather some thoughts, and move us in this direction. So I hope these positions make it clear to you that we're here to help. We really, this is not us throwing a bunch of stuff on the teachers and saying, okay, your turn, run with it. And if you can't handle it all, sorry. That's not what we're here for. We've come up with these positions so that you can adequately grow a healthy Sunday school class. That's all we want. We want you to be striving as a teacher and as these other positions here to build a healthy Sunday school class. Don't feel like there's a lot of weight on you to do all of this. You can. But what we do want you to do, and the reason that you've got the, your Sunday school roles, I want you to start going through those roles, picking out somebody, because you know. Now, I understand. Kathy Garrett, she's not going to have a lot of folks come back to her class right now. David Johnson is not going to have a lot of folks come back to his class right now. Am I right, David? That's okay. We're aware of the fact that even if we are able to start on the 14th, and we are fully planning to do so, we're fully aware that not all of your classes are going to look like they did a year ago. We know that. Part of that is because part of our church family has passed away. Part of that is because some of our church family is staying home. Miss Francis called me the other day. She said, "Tracy, I would love to be there, but I really think it's just in my best interest and in her husband's best interest to stay at home and then allow me to send them this recording so that they can get the same information without having to be in the building." That's okay. We know that. But as best as we can, and with everything and everybody that we have at this point, we want to go forward with this plan. And so take your Sunday school role, start looking at it. You're going to know, matter of fact, you're probably sitting there thinking already as we were going through these positions, "Oh, I know exactly who the prayer leader needs to be. Oh, I know exactly who my class admin needs to be," because they're the one that jumps right away to take care of the role. All of those things. So you've probably got these names in your head, but if you don't, start looking through your role. And what I want you to do in the next couple of weeks is just send me a list. "Tracy, this is the person that's going to be my class admin. This is the person that's going to be this. Because on the 21st, and I understand, you may not be able to get all these positions together in 2 weeks. I get that. But I want you to do everything you can so that in 2 weeks, I can send those people an email. You can send those people an email. I can give them a call. You can give them a call. And we're going to come back and do this all over again on the 21st. Only I'm going to walk through some of the same material with them, but then I'm also going to walk through some details of their position with them and just kind of expand on these duties a little bit. Here's our five-letter word rules, or 10-letter word if you prefer, which is guidelines. So we'll go with guidelines. This is going to be critical. And guys, I'm a low-key kind of person. But these are things that, this is mutual accountability. I want you to hold me accountable for helping us build a healthy Sunday school. I'm going to hold you accountable for doing the same as teachers. And I've not done that. I've not checked on you and said, "Hey, what's up? You didn't show up last week. Where were you? Nobody called me. I didn't know. I had no idea. I had students wandering around." I can't afford to do that anymore, just because this is our goal, a healthy Sunday school class. And so I want us to hold each other accountable. You to me to you. Start on time. I don't think I need to say that. And I know. I know you have students that don't get in there until 9:30. You've got kids. I know. I've taught Sunday school. I just want you to kick it off. You kick it off. And what I would suggest in everybody's room is people sit forward and then leave the back part of the classroom, the seats. I know some of you aren't set up for that, but leave the back part of the room set up so that latecomers can come into that area. Let them go. Part of this, and this timing has to do a lot with other things that need to take place. Nursery, care for our kids and those sort of things. That has to take place. And so if you're not letting them go on time, or if you're not starting on time, then it causes those dominoes to start falling. If you're taking your kids to the nursery on a consistent basis and the workers are not there, and I'm talking to all of you guys that don't have kids that age, Kendall and Will are the only ones affected. But if y'all are consistently taking it and the nursery workers are not there, you've got to let me know. And then I'll have a conversation with Maeve, and she'll have a conversation with the people that are supposed to be there. So they have to be there on time for you to be there on time. Be prepared, again, goes without saying, but it doesn't go without saying. I'm guilty of this. Brother Charlie's guilty of this. Each one of you likely are as well. I'm sure Clay is. Saturday night, special. Last 10 minutes before you go to bed, or I better get up a couple of minutes early this morning so I can look through this, run over it. and at least be able to throw something together teaching-wise. That's just, you know as well as I do, that's not what we're called to do as teachers. Like I said, I've taught Sunday school. I'm guilty, just as guilty as you guys are for that. Strive toward the standard. We're not going to hit all these all the time. Well, we've got to strive toward it. We've got to keep working toward that. Rely on each other. When I say each other, I want you to rely on your other teachers. There are things that Annette can learn from Mary. There's things that Mary can learn from Gloria. And throughout this group, you can learn from each other, but rely on each other. Keith, how are you doing this? I can't seem to get it together. What are you doing? Because it looks like you've got all your positions. It looks like you guys are hitting on all cylinders. What have you done that I'm not doing? Those kind of things. But then when I say rely on each other, I'm also talking about relying on your class. You have to be one of the chief prayer requesters, I guess. Class, pray for me this week as I prepare. Class, pray for me this week as I get ready to come back in on Sunday and teach. You see what I'm saying? I rely on your class. And then you've got to seek our support. You've got to come to Charlie, Brother Charlie and I, and ask, hey, I can't get this together. I don't know what's going on. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve you guys. And so come to us and say, I need some help. I can't figure it out. I can't get people there on time, or the nursery workers are never there when I get ready to drop my kids off, or whatever it may be. Come to us and talk to us. Don't just let it simmer and think, oh, it'll go away, because it's not. It's not going to go away. And that sums up what I just said. We'll do everything we can to serve you and to help you be a healthy class. That's what we want. And again, it's all for God's glory. It's not, we want you to be better teachers. We want to grow, certainly, as a healthy body, and we want to grow in quantity. But all of that is pointing toward God the Father and bringing Him glory. Any questions? I would love, if you've been doing the Gospel Project, I would love for you to keep that up. I will just kind of give you a word of caution, and I've talked to Don, I've talked to Charlie about this. I had about 6 different Gospel Projects going at one time. And I understand the reason behind that. Annette and Gloria wanted to start in Genesis, and that's okay. I get that. But I want if you're going to teach the Gospel Project, and honestly, I would really like for you to teach the Gospel Project, we're just all going to start in the same place. We've got a new quarter coming up starting in March, and I've got the material here. And so if you're going to teach the Gospel Project, I would like for all of those teachers, all of those classes, to be in one spot. That way I'm not having to think about 6 different sets of curricula to get you guys, and if you're teaching that particular material, you can go to the other teachers and talk about it. That is not to say I'm going to force you to teach the Gospel Project. Brother Roy liked it, but he may choose to go back to Bible Studies for Life. Miss Mary liked it, but she may choose to go back to BSFL. Miss Frances sent me a text. She said, Tracy, we would love to do the Gospel Project. But they have been, I think that class has been in existence for something like 60 years. Mr. Tommy taught it for 51, and they've always done Explore the Bible. They are a book, which is a book-based study. It walks through the books of the Bible. I'm not going to go to Miss Francis and say, I'm sorry, you can't. And she's going to see this video. She knows it. Would I like for everybody to be on the same page? Of course I would. It makes my job a lot easier. And I would love to be able to get you guys together and kind of walk through the lesson ahead of time. But I can't do that if everybody's on a different page. And that's okay. I want you to teach. Here's the thing with whatever you teach. I need to know what it is before you ever open the book in front of your class. I want to know what you're teaching. And we will talk through what that means. But obviously, I'm going to tell you that it's got to be Scripture-based. All of the LifeWay material is Scripture-based. I'm not a fan, necessarily, of all of it. But it's all done well. They've got a really large organization to do this and do it professionally, and they can do it better than I can. They can do it better than you can, for the most part. So, may not all be in the same lesson. I want you to let me know, though. I do need to let you, for you to let me know what you're going to want to teach. And if you're watching by recording, shoot me a text, call me, whatever. I need to know what you guys are going to hang in with. Anything else? All right. I am done. We did that in about 30 to 45 minutes, so that was kind of our goal. I was hoping to be done by 11:15 at the latest, and we hit it.
So will we have the material here ready for us to get and start looking at? Because we're starting at a different place, I'm going to assume.
We are starting at a different place. Becky wants to know if all the Gospel Project material is here. I believe I've got enough teacher books, Becky, but I'm not ordered enough for the classes until I get the feedback from who's going to teach what. But there are some teacher books, and I can go ahead and get those out, and then I'll just let you guys know how you can come get your teacher book.
I've got a question. On the roster, do you order books according to the number of people here or according to the regular attendees?
I've done a little bit of both. Ms. Nerd wants to know how many books and how I judge how many books to order for Sunday school books. I've done a little bit of both, Ms. Mary. I generally look at the attendance over the last 6 months. Now, in this case, I'm probably going to go December 19 back to June 19 and see about how many people you are having on a consistent basis. And then I'll order anywhere from 5 to 8 more than that, sometimes as many as 10 more than that. I've got a number that I've established for every class that usually gets pretty close. Yours seems to be an anomaly because no matter how many books I give you, it seems like you're always needing more. And that's great. That's excellent. But generally, I try to hit it in the ballpark.
And who do we need to notify to update our roster?
Kathy. Kathy is the best person. If any of you guys and those of you that are watching my recording, I'm going to mail your rolls to you, your Sunday school class rolls. If there's any issues on there, just let me know. Just give me a call or text me, and I will pass the information on to Kathy. Or if you want to cut out the middleman, just call Kathy, because she's going to do a better job at correcting that than I am. She is a Sunday school role guru and a really good wife. Maybe I'll send this recording to her. All right.
This is going to be good. Great. Next steps. So this is it. Next steps. What are we all supposed to do?
I'm kind of hoping I hit that while you were out, Brother Charlie. But our next step is for you to get these positions together, and then we're going to come in here and we're going to go through that. Something else I'd like for you to do that I didn't mention. Thank you, Brother Charlie. One other thing. While you're going through your roll, start picking out some faithful people, and then pick out those people that have not been able to come. And again, we're setting COVID behind us and not thinking about that. But look at those people that you knew were not coming before. And so what I want you to do is pick out a portion of your class that can handle the duty. So I can't say 6 because that would be all of David's class. But pick out a portion of your class that can help with this. And then have them call those folks that have not been as faithful to attend as maybe they had in the past or as you would like. Don's doing this with the choir, and he's the one that sort of kicked this idea into my head. But we want everybody in class that's been coming on a regular basis to contact everybody else in class that's not been coming on a regular basis. And it's going to be a lot easier for your class members to do that than it is for you to get on the phone. Now, David can handle it. Mr. Roy not going to handle it, but Dale cannot handle calling 100 people. So Dale's going to have to figure out 5 or 6.